Today on Real Radio.
He receives sinners in verse 2. The word means this: to admit in, to permit in, to intercourse or dialogue with another, or to allow. Jesus is allowing notorious sinners in his presence. You have a problem with that? I know people have a problem with that. I know Christian leaders have a problem with that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. Luke chapter 15 contains three pretty well-known parables, one in particular. Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son, or more commonly known as the prodigal son. Today, Pastor Jack examines the first of these, the parable of the lost sheep. Lots of cultural undertones in this one, so pay real close attention. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with the parable of the lost sheep.
And it's recorded in two gospels, Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. Tonight we'll look at Luke 15 and his account of the parable of the lost sheep. And look at verse 1. We'll set it up there. It's technically verses 1 through 7, but we'll look at the setup is in verses 1 to 3. Now, before I read this, I want you to put on your sandals, put on your robe, go back 2,000 years ago, and there's a large crowd, and It looks like a montage of people. There are people there that are notorious sinners, famous sinners in the region. The hookers would have been there, perhaps. Prostitutes, tax collectors. I should have said those guys first, maybe. Tax collectors first, and all these people. And then there's a group, and they're all in black, and they look awesome. And they're away from everybody else, but they're trying to get close as possible to hear Jesus. And those are the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious, professional rulers of the religion in Israel of the day. They had commandeered the Bible, the Old Testament, and they had formed this thing of a Judaism, where they had begun to teach the traditions of men greater than the revealed word of God. And they had lined their pockets with prosperity by ripping off people, and they were notorious religionists. So the whole crowd is messed up. But no doubt in the midst of it all, there's people there that have come with great intentions. They've heard about Jesus. They want to learn from him. They want to catch the one. They've heard so much. They want to see the miracle worker. He's fed thousands in one given moment. He's walked on the water. This is Jesus, and he's in your region. And thousands have come out. Verse 1, then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to hear him. The word implies that Jesus began to speak, and watch this, everybody leaned in to hear him speak. Wouldn't you? Oh my goodness. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes complained. You can always count on them. And this is what they said. This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he, Jesus, spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing, verse 6. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my lost sheep, which was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. I want to give you the setting now, what's going on here. The crowd is there of all sorts. Maybe there's a crowd here tonight of all sorts. Jesus loves this. He loves this crowd. He loves the crowd that he's talking to 2,000 years ago, and he loves you. And you've come here, and maybe you're a tax collector, maybe you're a sinner, or in this word, a notorious sinner. And you're listening. You've come to hear what Jesus has to say. And you've heard about him. And you're interested in him. And so you're leaning in. You're leaning into here. And while you're leaning into here, there's a bunch of nincompoops nearby that are complaining about everything that Jesus is doing. And you can almost imagine that those that are trying to hear Jesus, look, this is a human setting. They're leaning in to hear him, and you hear these people grumbling, and maybe they're saying, you know what, I bet, maybe kind of under their breath, but not really, because these kind of religionists love to sow confusion and discord among people, right? Oh, you know, I bet you he didn't even wash his hands today. You know, this Galilean, and you know, and you remember about his scandalous coming into the world, this one. Remember, I remember my dad told me when he was supposedly conceived of God, right? And all this stuff is going on. They're throwing stuff. It's just human nature. They're throwing words. They're throwing attitude out, and they're grumbling and complaining. And they set themselves up and Jesus, both for Jesus to give a parable and for them to once again miss it. It's absolutely amazing. Two words we need to understand here as we get into this study tonight. The one word is receives. He receives sinners. Can you mark that word down? He receives sinners in verse 2. The word means this: to admit in, to permit in, to intercourse or dialogue with another, or to allow. Jesus is allowing notorious sinners in his presence. You have a problem with that? I know people have a problem with that. I know Christian leaders have a problem with that. You see, they have a problem with the Bible and they're a Christian leader. Well, they don't have a problem with the Bible and they're a Christian leader. They have a problem with anyone else reaching out to notorious sinners like Jesus did, because Christianity, and maybe in their opinion, is so frail and fragile that you can't reach out to somebody and plead with them and give them the gospel, because you could be somehow labeled as being one of them. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think a man should go to a strip joint to witness to strippers. That's a great, great job for the women's ministry. Okay, but listen, if you're standing in the line at Albertsons and there's a man or there's a woman standing in line and God tells you to share with them, and you say, God, no unclean thing has come near me, like Peter, right? You better check your heart. Jesus cannot be threatened. Aren't you glad about that? Yes. Jesus does not say, gosh, I'd love to save you by talking to you and giving you the gospel, but I don't want to be, you know, kind of, you're quite a tainted person. And if I save you, then what are people going to say about my kingdom? I'm so glad that Jesus received sinners. He received me. And he's still receiving me. And he received you, and he's still receiving you. He receives sinners. Christ receives sinners. Are you a sinner tonight? Listen, if Jesus receives sinners, sign me up. I can't believe he said sinners to me already 7 times. I'll say it again. Jesus receives sinners. We're all sinners. The Bible says we've all sinned. And listen, it's that qualification that we are lost in our sins that qualifies us to be saved. Jesus saves sinners, and he receives them. What a powerful word that is. And then the second word is he eats with them. He eats with these tainted people. The word eat here actually means to take in food. And you go, well, duh, of course it does. No, no. To you and I, it's no big deal. In this culture, big deal. You do not eat with anybody in that culture, even to this day, except for your friends. Did you know that? You only eat in the Middle East with your friends at table. You want to know why? It's very romantic. If you tear meat off the bone or bread from the loaf as it's at table, you're becoming one with someone. That, you know how we have communion, by the way, like that? We're becoming one with one another. We all break from the same loaf. That's how they think. Jesus is eating with them, sending the message that, number one, I receive them, and number two, I'm becoming one with them. Now, this is unthinkable. That Jesus Christ, with all of his preaching and all of his teaching, And all of the glorious things surrounding this prophetic revelation to the world of who he is would receive sinners and eat with them. Here's the great thing about Jesus eating with us or eating with them. He's not tainted when he pulls off meat or bread from the loaf or from the bone. He's not tainted in that cultural worldview by consuming the same thing you're consuming because he's God. He cannot be polluted. He's not a good man. He's the God man. And he sits down and let's eat. He's eating with sinners. And all the, listen, it's kind of funny. Imagine being at the table with Jesus. Would you be having fun? Excuse me, hello? You'd be having a blast. You'd be poking your friend. Can you believe this? You know, the guy we've been hearing about, we are eating with him. Can you imagine what I don't think it's a stretch to go like this. Right? Think about it. He's the one. And then there's that group over there grumbling, complaining. This man receives sinners. And every sinner at the table or in the room went, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And he eats with them. Mm-mm. He sure does. Isn't he good? See, Jesus is not tainted when he comes into the presence of sinners because he doesn't leave us like that. He changes our lives. He comes in and he changes everything. He turns the table on self. He turns the table on our own ambitions. He turns the table on our own self-preservation of a life without God. And he turns the tables right over. And he exposes everything, not to our destruction. Has God been speaking to you? Has he been lovingly busting you? Why does he do this? Because he wants you with him. You may very well be tonight a very, very lost lamb of God. And he's calling out to you. It's not only for the lost sinner to come and be one of his own, but anybody who's a Christian tonight, maybe you're here and you've been away from God. And this verse, this chapter, this parable speaks strongly to that, about coming back. Well, listen, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible tells us, that he who, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Jesus, he comes to save. And Jesus sees us for who we really are. Isn't that comforting? So I don't know, should it be comforting? Oh no, it's very comforting. You know, we're kind of a very complicated thing, we are as humans. There's the person that we think we are. There's the person that we portray before others who we want them to think we are. There's the person that we'd like to be. And then there's the person who God knows we are. And God knows us. Everything about us. He knows every motive. You know, listen, the Bible says that we can't even know our own hearts. Isn't that wild? Think of that. Well, my heart, in my heart. Have you ever heard? In my heart, I just knew it was the right thing to do. Really? Because God said, in your heart is desperately wicked and no man can know it. Right? That's what the Bible says. I mean, honestly. Really? Yeah, God knows. Look, I know how convincing that is where we really feel right about that thing. But what does the Bible say? Paul the Apostle was awesome at this. Paul said, I've learned this in my life. I don't even judge myself. He said, my judgment on myself wouldn't be accurate. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. I love this. Charles Spurgeon said, he's talking to preachers, by the way. He wrote this in one of his classes. Charles Spurgeon said, listen, at the end of the day, you're not as bad as your people said you were today, and you're not as good as your people said you were today. Isn't that a great word? Oh, pastor, you stunk. And, you know, that's suicidal for a pastor teacher to hear. You know, you feel like after giving a message and it stunk, you feel like you worked for Satan that day. And then if somebody says, oh, that message changed my life, and you go, oh, wow. Spurgeon's words come ringing true. Hey, 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 calm down. You're not as bad as people say you are, and you're not as good as people say you are. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great, healthy thing? And listen, your mind will say, aren't I fantastic? Well, you're not as good as you think you are. And then, I'm just so terrible. Well, you're not as bad as you think you are. What do I do with this? You don't do anything with it. You give it to God and let him be the judge. You live under the Lord. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 9:35 that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Point number one in our study tonight about the parable of the lost sheep is this. Number one, we are God's concern. Will you write that down, my dear friend? We are God's concern. How so? Number one, mark it. His concern for us is assumed. I love this. Look at just four little words in verse four. What man of you? Jesus' words is to, listen, it's not to the crowd. It's to the Pharisees. Jesus turns to these pride, puffed, sin-sniffing, fault-finding Pharisees. In the face of the crowd, Jesus turns to them when they make that statement. He receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus says, which man of you? Which one of you guys? Stop right there. Immediately, there's a grand assumption that Jesus is building a parable on top of. Everybody knows this. Which one of you? The answer is every one of you guys know that if you have a lamb and it's lost, you do everything to go and get it. Jesus would be saying this today in our modern ear. Come on, give me a break. Don't tell me that if you're what? If your dog was lost, you would stop everything to go look for it? Of course you would. Everybody would go, yeah, that's true. This is a common thing. It is absolutely out there and obvious. And Jesus lays it down. I love this. His audience is Jewish. They would have known the Hebrew scriptures. That means they would have known Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, 5 says, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all beasts of the field. He's talking about his nation Israel. And they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. That's God speaking about the nation of Israel, and he's saying nobody cares for them. The shepherds that he had sent to be their spiritual leaders had abandoned them. And isn't it interesting that his concern for us is assumed? Friends, write this down. You may not get anything out of this message tonight. Get this. Jesus Christ refers to us humans as sheep. How does that sit with you? How do you like that? I know something about sheep. I used to work with sheep. A lot of sheep. 13 years I worked with sheep. I'm not kidding. You say, I thought you worked for a medical company. I did. We worked in a research lab. Very covert. No signs out in front of the high-rise building. It's all quiet and looked like an office complex. Inside, it was a farm in there. Why? We had sheep. Tons of sheep. Why? Because we would develop critical care devices for people, from babies all the way through to adults about prolonging your life. We would do studies and we would develop product. And you can't do that on people. Not in America, you can't. You can't practice development of high-tech medical devices on humans in the United States. You can't do that. And so if you're going to do that, you have to use an animal that's the closest to human physiology and its cardiac performance. I'll give you one guess what animal that might be. Sheep. Isn't that something? And you know what was amazing? The characteristics of sheep. Not one sheep ever protested going in for surgery. Not one of them. They loved being together, by the way. They all loved hanging out together. Not once did a sheep ever jump over the fence and catch a cab and try to head to the airport. They never ran away. Even when it was their day, they just walked right on in. Sheep never leave. Listen, they never run away. They never run away. I want you to mark that. Sheep never run away. They'll wander away. It's a big difference. You know a goat? A goat will run away. Did you know that? You know a sheep will never run away. Now, a sheep could be scared and then run a lightning clap or something like that. They can run that way. But a sheep with a shepherd in the fold, in the flock, will never just run away. They won't do it. How about this? A sheep is never, no one ever expects anything smart to come out of sheep. Sheep are not smart. They have no defense mechanisms or no defense attributes. Did you know that? Teeth, sheep don't have fangs. You don't see a sheep with fangs. They don't have a bite. Oh my gosh, I got bit by this lamb. You ever heard that? What brought you to this hospital? I got attacked by a lamb. Not gonna happen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Lost Sheep. The Parable of the Lost Sheep is actually a multi-part mini-series from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, in a minute, we'll hear another Ask Pastor Jack, but first, a quick reminder about this month's special offer, Pastor Jack's CD series, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. For your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio, you'll get that 16-CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click the button on the right there that says Special Offer. All right, time for today's Ask Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack, by the way, is a way of getting your answers to biblical questions, and you just might hear that question with the answer right here on Real Radio. Here's today's question. Pastor Jack, in 1 Samuel 28:19, Samuel says to Saul, "Tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me." Some say that means Saul was a believer. Is that true?
Doesn't that mean, and a lot of scholars say, see, that's proof positive Saul went to heaven, that he's a Christian, or that he's a believer. Not true. In Luke's gospel, begin reading in chapter 15 and go into chapter 16. It tells you about that place. Doesn't that mean that Saul went with Jonathan? Jonathan was a believer. It says he'll be with, will be with us. You'll be okay? Not so. Because Luke tells you that it was the same place, divided by a canyon. They were aware of one another. One group was in comfort and one group was in torment. When he said, "You're going to be down here with me," it doesn't mean that you're, it doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to be with me in paradise. You're going to be down in the in Sheol. Sheol is one place. It was one place with two compartments, referred to by the Jews and Scripture as Abraham's bosom and hell. At the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when he rules and reigns from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, at the end of the 1,000 years, the Bible says that hell shall give up the dead that is in it. They will all stand before the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And they will be judged for all that they did in their bodies in this world, and then they'll be cast into hell. That's a different place. So just because Samuel said, "Hey, you guys are going to be with me tonight or tomorrow," it doesn't mean Saul was in the same house. It meant that Saul was going to Sheol, same place that Samuel was, but in a different compartment. Again, read Luke 15 and 16. It talks about it. It's pretty cool.
All right, there's Pastor Jack on whether or not Old Testament Saul was a believer. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.